Hello and welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. How's everybody doing today? I know it's been a couple weeks, I don't want to say months, but a couple weeks since I've put a podcast out. But don't worry, the interviews are coming. I've got a lot of stuff lined up. And if you get bored, you can always go and check out my other VR podcast, Driving Home with Reverend Kyle. It's not affiliated with any website right now, so if you want to go check it out, you have to go to either iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud, because that's where it's being hosted. So, what are we going to talk about today? It's going to be one of my, this is one of my favorite topics because we've had a lot of people talk about this and we're going to get into all the nitty gritty here. But first, let me introduce my good friend, Mr. Peter Sassaman. Peter, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So, how's the weather right now down in Texas?
Pretty rainy, so hopefully I don't get cut off here.
Well, yes, let's hope the internet gods are in our favor here. So, yes. Peter, you and I have, I guess, known each other either in real space or virtually for at least a little while, wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, about the same time as the SVVR, or maybe a little bit before that, the first conference and expo.
Yeah. So I remember you, I think, were part of, I was doing a live Google Hangout or something, and you participated. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, and I brought on a little makeshift haptic glove of sorts.
Right. That's right. And then you were showing that at SVVR the first year.
Correct.
Yeah, and so
the second iteration of that prototype.
Right. And if I recall correctly, it was very rudimentary, but it worked, right?
Yeah, it's, the first prototype, that was on the podcast we had, it worked pretty well, but it was very heavy. The second one, we switched over to using servos. So the weight was, a little bit better. It still kind of felt bad, but, it was like a heart pulsing in your hand, not very natural. We've still got some ideas on how to smooth that out, but that second version is definitely still out there. If anybody wants to download that, and we're working on future versions of it. So
very cool. So you said we, it sounds like you've got a nice team that you've built there. Why don't you, first of all, where are you exactly? You're soon to be graduating, I hear.
Yeah, I'm soon to be graduating. I'm in a computer engineering undergraduate program here at the University of Texas at Arlington. So I'll be completing that in the spring. I only got 6 credit hours left in the spring. So I'll be done with that fairly soon. Did you have a second part to that question?
Well, I'm just curious. You said we, so I'm assuming you've got a nice little team built up there.
Yeah. So, I've got, some people who can do a little bit of 3D modeling. They were kind of took a break during the summer, but they're back now. We've got a few businessy type people, so they're helping out as well. So we've got, another thing that we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. So do you want me to go ahead and talk about that as well? Or?
Well, I kind of want to lead up to it a little bit here. So,
we'll keep that under wraps.
We have, obviously virtual reality is bombarding our eyeballs with all sorts of 3D goodliness. And we also have some people who are working on haptics, including yourself. And right. And in audio, obviously, spatial audio and surround and all of that good stuff is an important part. But we have other senses as well. And I think the one that is kind of out there and everybody knows it needs to happen, but nobody seems to have the right solution for it yet, is smell.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what you think in terms of how smell is necessary for VR.
Well, I think smell is, a lot of times will help, bring back memories or even stick memories in your mind. So if you have a memory as a child, like a favorite food or that, like, whenever you smell that, like, it'll bring back all these memories and emotions. So being able to, like, build that in a VR experience or possibly even, you know, trigger some of those could be, you know, very memorable for people in VR.
I remember back in when I was in high school, I had a summer job. I worked in a warehouse, and I was pulling orders to send out to like drug stores and grocery stores and things like that. And there was that one aisle I always got a kick out of, which was all the air fresheners and the Glade plugins and the sprays and the Lysol and all that. And it's weird because it seemed like every foot to 3 feet, I would smell something and go, oh, that reminds me of when I was in fourth grade and that one teacher leaned over me a little too inappropriately, you know, that kind of thing. And so I get it. And I know there's been a lot of research done on smells being attached to memories. Have you done any research on that at all?
Personally, I haven't done too much research, but everywhere I go, like I hear people saying, yeah, it's attached to memory. And it makes sense to me because I know personally I'll, you know, be going along and I'll smell something and it'll trigger memories. So yeah, it makes sense. I'll probably be doing more research into that in the near future.
I need to ask something. This is a really silly question, but do you like the smell of skunks?
Smell of skunks. Can't say that I do.
Okay. Me neither. And it seems like a silly question to ask is, who in the world would like the smell of skunks? My wife actually loves the smell of skunks. And it came up at a party. We were with some other couples that we hang out with. And one of the other gals there said, oh, yeah, I love the smell of skunks, too. And I thought to myself, really? Two women of, you know, middle age, and they like the smell of skunk. They think it's a good, pleasant smell. That strikes me as odd that something that's considered to be, you know, gross or, you know, odorous in a negative way, that some people would like the smell. I don't know. Do you think there's any research on that at all?
I'm not sure, but I think like some smells, like just like taste, you could probably grow kind of a taste for them. Well, or in a smell in this case, you could, if you were exposed to them over a long time, maybe you would kind of grow an attachment to that smell.
I don't know. It just seems weird. Maybe they're just odd folks, you know? So, okay, well, let's get into the nitty gritty here. Obviously, we're talking about smell because, quite frankly, it's something that if we're going to truly simulate or make a virtual reality, then we need to attack all of our senses. And so you and your team have created a solution for this. So what is it and how does it work and where'd you get this crazy idea?
Okay, so the idea came probably mostly from Ernest Cline's book, Ready Player One. So in there, it mentions a smell tower of sorts. But I know a lot of people in that fantasy universe would turn it off and wouldn't actually use it because people would get pranked with, you know, they'd have their avatar smell really gross.
Yeah.
So everybody would turn it off. And so I was thinking to myself during an electronics project for a class back last fall, you know, what if there was a way to do this to where you didn't have to smell the bad smells if you didn't want to? So I made a first prototype. It was kind of rough, didn't work quite how I wanted it to. I was trying to, you know, heat test tubes with Kanthal wire and, you know, release the smell that way, but it was just a big cacophony of smells. However, towards the end, some of the people in my team were like, hey, you know, we're working on this glove and we see you're also working on the smell thing. Well, have you considered using car scent clips? Because they seem to work really well. You know, you turn on the vent and it starts blowing the smell. You turn it off, the smell goes away. They're like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'll think about that. And then February of this year, I was like, you know what? I got some extra time. I'm going to go ahead and throw together a prototype. So I, you know, 3D modeled up a box, printed it that weekend, wired together the electronics, some little 40 millimeter PC fans with an Arduino, added some car sense, hooked it up to Unity, and it actually worked really great because the smells they come to you in about, 2 seconds, and then you turn it off, and about 2 seconds later they go away. And so being able to have a variety of smells just triggered by wafting the scent to you worked surprisingly well. And then this summer, I had to finish the, spring semester. I got to the summer. I was thinking, maybe this instead of the haptic glove would be ready for Kickstarter like fairly quickly. So I started putting together a demo and making the box look a little bit more presentable. And then we started having some VR meets at the Dallas Makerspace again and showed it off. And a lot of people, gave us feedback, and they seemed to like it a whole lot. So we started designing a more modular approach, which we're going to be putting on our Kickstarter here November 2nd.
So, all right, we've established that, yes, this is going to be a Kickstarter. And, I'm curious, you worked on the glove for a little while. You've kind of pivoted a bit. You're working on this. How does, because we've had a lot of people on the podcast talk about Kickstarters and things that they've Kickstarted, and some are successful and some don't work out so well. I personally have had my own little jaunt into the Kickstarter world. So I'm curious, at what point did you realize that this is a viable product that was ready for Kickstarter?
Like I said, back in the fall, I kind of put it together and I did a little bit of testing, but I hadn't really put it together with a game. So this summer, when I took a little bit of time, put together a Unity demo with that, and started, actually walking around and seeing how it affected, the smelling and seeing, and especially after I added a little Minecraft type landscape in. It really makes the scene a lot more enjoyable. You walk from one area to the next, not just to see what it looks like, but also to smell what it smells like as well.
Are you familiar with any other products on the market that are also trying to accomplish this task?
The Feel Real headset was on Kickstarter. I don't believe that it was successful. I think they may be taking pre-orders now, but I'm not sure where they're going from here. It appeared like their device would hang that underneath a head-mounted display and has about 7, looks like proprietary-type cartridges that provide you with the smell.
Yeah, I remember looking at it with a buddy of mine recently, and it was actually before I had heard about your Kickstarter. And we were looking at it, and the first thing that we said to ourselves was, wow, look at it. It covers your, now your whole face is covered. And I remember looking at that list of, because it has 7 available odors, and they were ocean, jungle, fire, grass, powder, flowers, metal. And it just seemed like an odd list of just 7 odors. Because you could obviously do something outdoorsy. Actually, most of this stuff is very outdoorsy. And then you've got, powder, which whatever the hell that is, I guess it's baby powder. I don't know what powder would be. But then there's metal. And then thinking to myself, metal has more of a kind of a taste component than it does a smell. So, what is that going to smell like? Like burning electronics? We all know what that smell smells like. Yeah, but to have that limitation of 7 smells didn't really feel like it was going to be real enough, despite the fact that it was called Feel Real. What's your take on 7 versus what are you guys doing? How many smells do you really need to have to do it right?
Well, we felt that when somebody's making a game, there's going to be different zones that you would be going into in a game. So the basic unit is going to start out with 4 smells, but it's modular so that you can buy expansions that add on 2 more smells and 2 more smells and 2 more smells until the unit is up to 24 smells. So you could make it as small or as big as you wanted to and be able to put in pretty much any scent clip that you can buy at the store Or also you can take some of the ones that have the little wick, like you said, you know, walking down the aisle at the store, and unscrew the top and put it in front so that you can get a fairly wide variety. There's also some stores on Etsy that like have hundreds of different smells. So we've been, you know, buying some of those, you know, testing them out. They're pretty good. Some of them are really good, some of them not so good. So we left some feedback for them, so they might want to try to work on some of the smells. But like for the most part, yeah, you can go out and if you can find an oil for it, you can put it into our device. And to help with that, we even put a 3D printable file out on Thingiverse so people can 3D print their own, pour the oil in, and be able to put that into the device as well. So the thought is, you know, different people are going to, you know, make their game and map different smells to the environments and to even the important items in the game. And then people who play their game will, you know, look at what smells they use, put them in, and experiment as well, we're hoping. So if there's a smell they like better, they can replace one of them, or a smell they don't like, they can leave it out. And then they can share that with their friends, and their friends can try that as well. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who like making Minecraft texture packs. So if they change the look of the scenery, they might put a different whole set of smells into the device and share that with their friends and see what their friends think.
So let's talk a little bit about this oil-based scent scenario. So the oil, obviously oil will burn and you can get a nice scent out of it. But what about the scents themselves? I mean, are we talking about natural odors, or are these artificially created? How do they make the oil smell differently?
How they make the oil smell differently? Well, I've looked at some of the processes online, and sometimes they'll use like a alcohol base or something to extract the smell from the item that they're trying to extract it from. And then once they have that, then they'll transition it into the oil. I don't know if there's, you know, more processes than that. There probably are. But like, yeah, there's, you know, a very wide variety of smells out there.
Have you considered, because I know that the electronic cigarette vaping community has a wide variety of flavors.
Taste.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, I mean, have you experimented at all with using that sort of element in this?
I've actually been thinking about starting a project on that as well. Because, like I said, originally I was messing around with Canthal wires to heat up the scented oils, even though now we've transitioned to just using little fans to blow against scent clips. But yeah, there's a fairly large vaping community out there, and I'm sure there's intersect with the VR community. And having something where you could get multiple flavors in your game would be awesome.
Yeah, I actually am a big, I'm a vapor myself. I vape quite a bit. And there is just a huge wide variety of flavors. And you know, sometimes there's, every once in a while I'll see a recipe for, here, you can make your own. And I'm not ambitious enough to do that yet. But yeah, there's all these different flavors. Like if you want to make something taste like Apple Jacks, you do three parts this and two parts this and one part this. And it's a very cool thing. I'm curious though, because there's kind of a pushback to the vaping community that, you know, some people are saying it's bad for you because you're still burning something and inhaling it. Any thoughts on that in terms of, you know, what you're trying to do, and you know, will there be pushback? Like it's toxic?
Toxic, you mean for the vape or for the smell?
Well, for the either way, I mean, in order for you to, okay, you know,
well, for the vape, I know you can get non nicotine versions of that, so
right,
I'm thinking that's probably fine. So making a vape VR would be a really cool thing. As far as the smells, I mean, people have been plugging them into the walls of their home for a long time, you know, heating them up, having them permeate the room. So I believe as long as you don't have an allergy, I don't see any reason why there would be an issue. And people, especially with these car scent clips, plug them into their car and having them blowing in a very enclosed space all the way to work. So, yeah.
So no worry there.
I think if there was a big issue, they probably would have banned probably a long time ago.
Yeah, probably. I think you're right. I'm just trying to think of all the different things that somebody might say about this sort of project. Speaking about things that people have said, you may have, the listening audience may or may not be aware, but you actually posted about this in the Oculus subreddit. Right. It was a few days ago, I think. It's been quite longer since we're releasing this after the Kickstarter has happened.
Right.
So just to break the illusion, folks, we're actually recording this before the Kickstarter has been launched, but we're going to release this podcast afterwards. So it looks like Michael Abrash may have said that he doesn't think that the scent generating tech is quite there yet. Are you familiar with his thoughts on this?
Yeah, I actually went and watched that. I don't know how many times I watched that specific section, like probably 5 or 6 times, and then watched through the whole thing. I think some of the biggest concerns that he listed, one was the fact that smells smell differently when they're right up next to your face than when they're like wafted to you. And so I'm wondering if maybe with the Feel Real, being that it was right up that close to your face, the smells may have smelled differently, and maybe that didn't give quite the same experience that people were hoping for. Do you happen to have the post up?
I'm looking at the post right now. Yeah.
Let me pull up. Some of the other things was that the smell would oftentimes gets stuck in the device. And that's part of why we're using the scent clips, because, you know, I've been building some of my own scent clips and that, and I know once the scented oil gets onto something, then yeah, you can never really get the smell out. However, since we're using the scent clips, the item that the scented oil is leaving its smell on is the clip. And once that's used up after about 3 months, you can just throw that away. Or if you're in a hotter room, you know, 1 month, you can throw that away and put it in a new scent clip and not have to worry about the contamination, because the part that's actually being contaminated is being discarded.
So I guess it seems kind of silly that we haven't done this yet, but this is called Cilia. That's the name of the product?
Silly. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So what is haptic soul?
Okay, so Haptic Soul is short for Haptic Solutions. It's an incorporation that we put together. So I'm the president of Haptic Solutions, Inc. And Cilia is the name of the device. We got the inspiration of the name from the fact that the cilia is what the scent particles stick to in your nose. And the actual symbol that we've created is a representation of a cross section of a cilia. So if you Google cilia and look at image searches, you'll see something kind of similar to it show up fairly quickly.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of clever, actually, because the name really, so cilia, if you've taken a biology class at all or you've ever heard that term, you know exactly what the product is. Whereas Feel Real, it doesn't sound right, because it's more of a feel than it is a smell. So I'm glad that you came up with a clever name for that. I'm kind of curious, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So Feel Real went over your mouth, went over your face. How does this device you're creating, where does it sit, and how does it plug in? How does it interact with the HMD?
Okay, so the device itself will only be about 3 inches tall. So it just sits down beneath your monitor, and it kind of will wrap around if you expand it to more units in a semicircle, so that it'll be pointing all the smells directly beneath your nose. And then how it interacts with the computer is via USB and then power from a laptop charger. So you'll be able to use, currently we've been using UniDuino, because we've been using an Arduino to power this device. But we're hoping to create a more custom plug-in if we get funded so that this device can be, you know, easier to program. You just call the proper functions for smell slot 1, smell slot 2, etc., to cause the device to actually provide the different scent, the different scents.
So let's say that I'm, you know, your average indie developer. Let's just say my name is, I don't know, Blair. And I've got a novel game that everybody seems to really get a kick out of that works really well for the VR. And I would like to integrate with your hardware, and I'd like to have smells inside my environment. Now, my game, let's just say, for example, my game is based in a post-apocalyptic or kind of a, you know, a run-down futuristic world, and I'm going to be walking around first person, and I've got a musky room or a, you know, an outdoor rainy area, or maybe I'm subterranean or something like that. Can you see the right smells being available for my game?
Definitely, yeah. Like, when you're in the kind of urban area, maybe like there's a car there that's like leaking motor oil. There's smells like that. There's different musty smells as well that I've seen online. So you could use those in some of the subterranean areas. There's just a whole host of different smells out there. And I'm sure there's many more that can be made as well. So, you know, as people see that there's a demand not only for the pleasant smells to be in scent clips, but also some of the weirder smells or some of the, you know, maybe gross smells as well, then those can start to be put into scent clips as well. And like I said, for now, you know, we're going to be able to 3D print them as well. So, you know, you're not just limited to the ones that you find at the store, even though there is a fairly wide variety of those.
So it but sounds like, though,
you can kind of create your own as well without 3D printing by taking a small glass bottle or that and pouring in some of these oils that you'd find on Etsy and using a diffuser rod, so you don't even need to have access to a 3D printer or that.
It really does sound, though, like, I mean, it's inevitable somebody's going to have poop flavor. I mean, that's a thing, right? I mean, that's going to happen.
I think there's already jelly beans like that.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You should find out where jelly beans get their flavorings and see if the smells are just as potent. That would be fun. So have you given any consideration to any current VR titles that are out there, either on Oculus Share or maybe the Gear VR, I don't know, that would be the prime candidates to integrate your technology with it?
I know for myself, I would love to see it integrated with the Minecraft or Minecraft actually for Windows 10, because there's just so many environments in that. You know, as you go from one region to another and like find new areas, then new smells would be unlocked. So that would be one that I'd be really excited about. I know for others, you know, there's probably going to be first person shooter games that they'll want.
Ooh, what does blood smell like?
What's blood smell like?
Yeah.
I know there's some out there like dragon's blood or that. I think those are more of an incense type smell, but I've also seen some really strange ones out there on Etsy that actually do smell like blood, but I haven't actually purchased them. Even ones that, you know, smell like, you know, rotting flesh or vomit or that. And they're actually used for like training simulations, like people, you know, preparing, I guess, for medical or emergency type scenarios. So, you know, myself, I'm not that into gross smells, but I'm definitely going to be buying some in the near future because, yeah, people are going to want to know what those smell like.
I could see something like, what is that, Alien, or Surgeon Simulator. Surgeon Simulator,
yeah, that one.
Yeah, it could have like that antiseptic smell to it, you know, like a hot, hospitals have that funky smell to them. And that would, yeah, that seems like that would be easy to duplicate. The other thing
it's
I was thinking.
Funny you should say that. Yeah, there was somebody talking to me the other day that like some of the people who are training for that, they'll actually be using dummies, but they'll have certain scents that are supposed to smell like the actual organs in the body. So if you were doing something where you're training and like this, you needed to know what they smell like, if virtually, you could have a virtual training simulation like Surgeon Simulator, but maybe slightly more accurate, and then add the smells to the different organs so you know that you're smelling the right one.
Yeah, and I think there's probably other really obvious things like, wood. So if you're in like a new building or you're sitting at a desk and it's got that nice new wood kind of feel. I know I bought this nice desk at, I shouldn't say nice. I bought a desk at IKEA and the whole room smells like this wood, that is treated wood, because that's all the only thing, the only piece of furniture in the room right now is this wooden desk. And so my whole room smells like it. So that would be, definitely a good one. I could also see some of your, your relaxation type of experiences in VR, where you're like going through cosmic worlds and things like that. You could do some very calming scents, maybe lavender or something like that. Yeah.
The Eden River, I remember.
Yeah.
Time for admission time. Like I had the Dev Kit 1, and I haven't actually gotten my hands on the Dev Kit 2 until recently. So a lot of my memories of VR games are from the Dev Kit 1. But I remember the Eden River one. I spent a lot of time in that one. It was very relaxing, and I'd love to be able to smell the flowers as I'm going by them, and the vines and the wood of the trees. There's actually a smell I have here. It's called dirt. It's from Sahara Supplies, one of the stores on Etsy that smells scented oils, and it smells like mulch, like a really pleasant mulch smell. So I could imagine putting that like with that demo, and it would be really awesome.
Have you considered reaching out to some of these developers and saying, hey, let's make a demo using this, and we can show people example of what this would look and smell like?
Yeah, we've definitely been talking about that, like reaching out to like maybe a few developers and like getting this device out to them so that, we can start seeing people developing with it. And so part of that was putting out the Kickstarter, but also like if like maybe a few people wanted to, go ahead and get one earlier on, we could probably give out a few units so people could, start developing with it even earlier. Of course, it's going to take a bit of time to build, but we're going to be reaching out in the near future. We're looking into those options.
So what are your thoughts about, obviously, if this is going to sit under your monitor on your desk, what are your thoughts about integration with either mobile Gear VR or also room space VR with like the HTC Vive and things like that, where you actually get up and move around?
Right. So right now it would primarily be for seated. It's kind of funny. Oculus oftentimes says seated experience. But like the sweet spot is really about, 3 or 4 feet sitting away from the device, but I could imagine that you could actually put this on something, it might be a little bit cumbersome that you're wearing, and use it or put it around a treadmill, let's say. So I know like the Virtuix and some of the other ones were talking about having Bluetooth so that you could, communicate even if you're wearing a mobile headset to that, and then you'd be able to move somewhat, and we could, put it to where you could smell while you're on a treadmill. But actually moving around a room space, then you'd move out of the sweet spot zone for smelling the smell. So that might be a little bit more difficult for right now.
So you mentioned that you've actually shown this off at an expo. What were the reactions, specifically? Were people positive? Did they give critiques? Were they like walking away with huge smiles on their face? I mean, what kind of reactions did you get?
Yeah, a lot of people were really happy to try it. Some of the critiques we found is like you don't want to have a really strong gust of wind coming by, So, you know, after we figured out that, of course, was easy to solve, you know, don't set up where there's a strong cross breeze, because that can either blow the scent away or blow all the smells towards you. But if, you know, set up in an area that's, you know, fairly calm air, then a lot of people, you know, said that they really like it. I had quite a few fellow students here, and like even some students I had never met before, come up to me after, you know, showing it off at some classes here. There's a lot of people who said they, you know, backed the Kickstarter after trying it out, and you know, talking about how, you know, certain smells remind them of things. So more on, you know, the triggering memories and that, but also at the Dallas Makerspace is another place we demoed at the VR meetups we've been having out there. So a lot of people loved it out there too. And yeah, so we're going to try to continue to have VR meetups out at the Dallas Makerspace, show it off there. We're looking at going to the Maker Fair at the Barnes & Noble here in Arlington at the Parks Mall. So if anybody's in the area and wants to drop by and give it a try, we'll be there as well. And we'll be looking into other conferences and expos we can go to as well.
I know I've been to several theaters. There used to be one, well, I'm sure they're still there, but I'm not there anymore, at the Cincinnati Zoo, where it's like a 4D theater. And so the seats rumble, little things jump out and tickle you, or and then they blast you with cold air, and obviously smells as well. So I'm assuming then that another use case, especially with it being a seated experience, is you could use this in a correlation with 3D, 360 movie, something from like a Jaunt or a Ricoh Theta or something like that. Have you put any thought into that type of collaboration?
I've been definitely thinking that would be great to, you know, add it to movies as well, because that's been the primary use, like, since the 60s, is putting smells with movies. So I would love to watch a 360 video together with smells. So yeah, if we can find some people who are working on that and put the smells together with that, that'd be awesome.
What do you think about when developers say, oh no, here's another piece of hardware that I have to support with a plug-in, or I have to add extra input mechanisms to be able to support this? What do you say to developers who make those kind of comments?
A lot of people actually thought, you know, this is going to be fairly easy, because when they're creating the game, there's already various collision box or regions built into the game. So it's actually fairly easy to just, when you leave a region, turn off one smell, and as you enter the next region, turn on the new smell as well. One thing I should say, I forgot to mention about, you know, people have tried, is people are really amazed, you know, how quickly the smells come and dissipate. So that's one of the big concerns people always have, is, you know, are the smells going to stick around, or are they going to come quickly enough? And everybody's like, yeah, it comes really quickly. So
I guess that somewhere in the near future, I can imagine a VR bacon game where the whole game just smells like different areas of bacon. I mean, who doesn't like bacon, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's got to be a thing, right? There's got to be a bacon flavor or a bacon smell. I would play that game all the time.
I'm going to Google that real quick. Let's see here. Bacon's fragrance oil right there.
Excellent.
Garden. Awesome.
Excellent.
I need to get my hands on some of that.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Also, I really want the pizza and the pecan pie, and going to get very hungry smelling all these different smells.
It seems like it would be a fun thing to do, to actually base your game around this technology and say, okay, here's a game where you have to go collect all the bacon in a house, or all the pies in a neighborhood. You know, that would be great. It's like Paperboy, but in reverse. You have to drive down the road in your bike, and you wait until you smell a pie, and then you steal it off the sill of the window. So you could actually have entire game sequences designed specifically to take advantage of this technology.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've been thinking a game that I would love to make myself would be one where you're a detective and the things that are the clues in the game actually have, distinct smells. And so you identify the things that are important to solving the case by the smell. So you pick them up like with the Razer Hydra or hopefully the Stem that's coming out soon or the new Oculus Touch or one of those. You pick it up, you bring it close to your nose and you smell it, and if the shoe has a leathery smell, it's important
Yeah, that
to
sounds
the
great.
case.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like there's going to be a lot of realistic and easily intertwining pieces to this. The developers won't feel too apprehensive about trying to incorporate this because, the reality of it is it's a novelty, but there's also this really good practical application of adding that extra layer of presence. Because, like you said, the smell that's it's something that we all think about and go, oh, that reminds me of this, that reminds me of that. And so when we get to that point where we're looking for that next level of presence, this is here and it's available. And that's very
Definitely.
exciting. So have you
Yeah.
reached out to try to get any type of funding? Have investors talked to you at all?
No, we haven't had any investors that we've talked to on this. So we're definitely would be open to investment, but it would have to be, sizable enough to be, so that, there's not too many investors like taking away from, the core mission, to bring a new sense to the virtual world, pun intended.
All right, well let's talk about the nitty-gritty here. So like I said earlier, we recorded this prior to the Kickstarter launching. It launches on November 2nd, is that correct?
Yes, it'll be launching on November 2nd at 7 a.m.
Okay. And what exactly are your goals for this Kickstarter? What are you looking to get? How much? How long is it going to go for? That sort of thing.
It'll be going for 1 month, and the goal is to get 20,000. We put some stretch goals with some various surprises. So if we can reach, well above and beyond, we'll maybe even be able to injection mold, because there's a trade-off point from where you're go from 3D printing to injection molding based on how much funds we're able to reach.
So if I wanted to back you, what do the tiers look like, and where are you expecting to see the most backing coming from?
Well, we did put a lower level, because we wanted the cost to be, where anybody can get in, where you get just the base unit, with, four smells. And so beyond that, myself, like if I was looking at my, I would probably back around for the eight smells. So I'm thinking a lot of people want that. It's, just enough to like fill up, pretty much all the scenes in your game, and then maybe a few, specific objects to have smells. And then we'll even have up to where you could expand it up to 24 different smells. So if you wanted to add in some hidden details that those who have a larger unit would be able to experience, you could do that as well.
So if I wanted to back you at the four smell tier, what's that going to run me?
It's gonna run for the early bird about $80, and for the after that $99. So beyond that, like we kind of scaled it, so like if you're getting more smells, then we reduced the cost as it goes up, because the main unit is gonna contain the microcontroller, which is one of the more expensive items in the unit. And then as you get more spells, then of course it gets cheaper because you only need the one microcontroller.
So for basically, unless you're fortunate enough to get on the early bird, for $100, I can play around with this. That's
Definitely, yeah.
not a terrible price. That's
I mean,
actually
for
pretty
four
good.
smells, you're limited to like maybe like the show Avatar, you got fire, earth, water, air, or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, then as you expand beyond that, then it opens up a whole lot of possibilities.
So then, are you going to have like a future area where I can order additional smells from you, or are you going to like outsource that? I mean, where do I get my refills from?
The refills. Okay, so if you're using scent clips, you can go to your local Walmart, you can go to O'Reilly's, you can go to Target, like anywhere where they have scent clips, and you can just pick up another one. Now, for some of the more unique smells, you could either buy them, the scented oils off of Etsy, you know, 3D print your own, put them in, or, you know, get little glass bottles with the fusing rods and, you know, make your own that away. But yeah, we'll be looking post Kickstarter how we could talk with some companies that actually make the scent clips and see if some of the more popular oils that, you know, just are out there could actually be put into the scent clips, because we don't imagine it would be too difficult of a process, especially if there was a lot of interest in it. If we could show that there was enough interest, then these smells that are more appropriate for games could also be produced alongside the, you know, more aromatic smells that we put into our cars and into our homes.
So we could actually then sometime in the future see Cilia brought to you by Glade.
Yeah.
Okay.
or some of the other ones. Myself, I actually really like the Yankee Candle smells. They actually have a really wide variety. I think it's like 30, 40 different smells on their website in scent clip form. And those like are really, you know, aromatic and smell really pleasant.
So. I love going to Yankee Candle, the store, and when you go to the mall and you know you're coming up to it because you already start to smell it. Especially Definitely. During the holidays, you walk in, you're like, oh, it smells like grandma's house during Christmas time. And oh, this smells like baked cookies, and this smells like pine, and this smells like cherry cordial, and this, man, I'm getting hungry now. This is good. This is great.
I really like their pine one. Like, I'm almost addicted to that smell now. I was like, oh, I want to smell the pine all day long.
Well, and if you do it the way you were saying, you know, you get the mulch smell and then you get the pine smell, you can go walking through a forest. You know, you could Exactly. even, you could have a camp out, you could have like fire burning. I've smelled ones that, you know, smell like sawdust, and they smell like fire, and they smell like, you know, charcoal, those sorts of things. Yeah, I could really see how this would be fun to
It'll
create
be interesting
something.
To see how people mix smells as well, not just turning on one smell at a time, but turning on like all the appropriate smells for a forest.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you mix other things. So if you mix every color of paint, you get this weird gray brown blob of goo, but then with subtractive light you mix them all together and you get white. I wonder yeah. what every smell together smells like. Well,
ooh,
it's
ooh, yeah,
yeah.
I think it's over 1,000, I believe. I don't remember the exact number, but there is at least 1,000, maybe 2,000 different distinct smells that our nose can pick up, because it's little particles that go into the proper receptors that trigger the smell. So I'm not sure how close it is to color in blending, but I know some people in like Japan have looked at like breaking it down into basic components, like a category that's like buttery, and a category that's fruity, and a category that's musty. So there's categories of smells. So possibly through mixing those, you might be able to achieve something similar to another smell, but it might not be as precise as mixing light.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a totally different experience. I mean, I know that some people can actually take like a meal, like a food component, and smell it and go, I smell basil, and I smell you know, curry, and that's definitely garlic, and I can smell, you know, and all, yeah. Some people can really pick up on all those different scents.
I can break down the ingredients that are in, like, I know before I've been like, do you have jalapeno in your Subway sandwich? And I was like, yes, I do. And you can break down the meal into its individual components by the smell.
I think it's a cool idea. I think this is really neat. It's definitely something that I'm curious to see what people do with it. Because I guess the challenge is that if I'm a game developer and I design my game to have this component, who's my audience? So how many people are going to actually have this? So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Do I design my game to support this hardware in hopes that my game pushes people to buy the hardware? Or do I hope people have the hardware already and then I sell my game and just say, oh, and by the way, before you play, go down to your local Walgreens and pick up these 4 cents?
Yeah, so that's part of why we made the smallest unit down to 4 smells, and to where it would only cost like $100 for post early bird, is so that people could, you know, get it inexpensively and go ahead and start messing around with it. So that hopefully will, you know, lower the barrier entry. Also, the fact that the smells are, you know, readily available as well. Yeah, but definitely, you similar to like VR, you kind of have to smell the vision in this case. So smell-o-vision, I guess. So taking this around as much as we can so that people can actually try it, similarly to how people have to try on the Rift to get it. We're hoping by doing that, you know, a lot more people will gain interest.
Well, I think a key to your success is to, number one, get it out into people's hands and let, you know, demo it so people know what it is they're investing in. Because I have a feeling that since this is a new aspect of VR, that people are probably a little skeptical. And so they want to see it. You know, they want to try it themselves. Because like you said, with VR, you kind of have to try it to understand it fully. And so that's definitely a big thing you need to do. The other thing too is, you know, try to partner up with some people and say, hey, you know, Eden River now comes with, you know, compatibility with Cilia and it can do up to 8 smells. You know, maybe give the developer a call and see if you can get something like that set up.
Definitely, yeah. I was thinking before about like reaching out to like Gunter and that, but I think he may have some allergies to smells. So yeah, we'll be looking into some different developers, like the one on Eden River. Do you know who developed that one?
Yeah, that would be Aaron Lemke is the developer. Aaron Lemke. Unello okay. Design. Yeah.
Fingers crossed he doesn't have allergies.
Right. Well, and you know, you mentioned Gunter. Please don't tell Gunter to add smell to his show. because I don't want to necessarily attend a Gunter's universe where I can smell him and all of the people around. And obviously,
Take out the send clips that you don't like and replace them with something else.
I want to start selling Gunter oil, and we'll have to do a we'll have to ask the community what they think that should smell like.
Yeah.
No, and obviously I'm just goofing, Gunter. You know I love you. All right. Well, geez, it sounds like, and again, since we're releasing this after the Kickstarter has begun, I'm going to just go ahead and say, hey, congratulations, because it looks like the Kickstarter's started very well, and it's already had a great success, and a lot of people have backed you already, and now this is just going to push you a little bit further toward your goal. I think it's really exciting to see somebody do it differently, because I didn't really like the idea of what Feel Real was doing and slapping a Sub-Zero mask over my mouth. I didn't like that. Just didn't seem right.
Yeah, hopefully this will be a little bit more comfortable for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, well, if people want to get a hold of you, Peter, what you know, other than going to your Kickstarter page, how else can they reach out and contact you?
Okay, so they can go on hapticsoul.com. So that's HAPTICSOL.com. And there's some contact information there. We also have like Facebook page and a Twitter page. So they can look there and contact us through those as well.
Very cool. Yeah, I think I'm curious to see how this goes. I mean, we all know that lately there has been a what they call Kickstarter fatigue. And so a lot of people are, you know, weary of backing a Kickstarter because they're not sure when the delivery. And I guess that raises a real important question I want to ask you real quick is, once the Kickstarter is complete and you do hit your goal, when will these units be delivered?
We're going to be, for those who back for $1,000, be sending out some prototype units closer to what we have now in about a month. So after that, then we'll be focusing on actually finishing up the current design, working on the software, and we're hoping to be shipping around December of 2016.
Oh, okay.
Now, of course, right, like I said, the goal right now is only for 20,000. So if we go, way beyond that, that may change if complications such as injection molding are worked into the process as well.
Okay. Well, that's still a reasonable goal. I mean, there are still some people out there who are waiting for Kickstarters to be fulfilled that they slap several hundred dollars down onto, years ago. So
still waiting for my STEM system to ship this December. Hopefully, fingers crossed that it doesn't get, pushed back anymore.
Yeah, STEM, I backed PreoVR, I backed CastAR. So between those three, I'm kind of curious to see which one of them I'll see first, or if I'll see any of them at all. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. All right. Well, Peter, this has been a fantastic conversation. I really do appreciate you coming on, and I wish you and your team all the best of luck with your Kickstarter. And, who knows? This might be a great success for you, and then we'll talk again later about how awesome this experience was. And then you can tell me how crazy I am, because running a Kickstarter is really, really hard.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And thank you for letting me come on the show and talk. It's been great. And I look forward to seeing how this goes.
Absolutely. All right. Well, folks, if you want to reach out to me about this or any other piece of media that I've put out recently, check out my YouTube channel. I have put out a new 360 YouTube video that's consumable via Google Cardboard. I got my hands on a Ricoh Theta S, and it does 360 video, and so it's my new favorite toy to play with. So I'm going to be pumping out some 360 videos onto YouTube here for all of you to consume. And don't worry, next time I promise I'll use a tripod. You learned that lesson after the first one. So go ahead and reach out to me if you have any thoughts, comments, or regurgitations. You can reach me on Twitter at Reverend KJR, or you can email me ReverendKJR@gmail.com. And like I said earlier on in the podcast, check out Driving Home with Reverend Kyle. It's a good, fun little thing that I do. Just pick up the news once or twice a week and record it while I drive home from work. It's kind of an interesting concept, and I hope to continue on with that, as well as doing some more interviews with the Red VR podcast. So check all that out, and go check out Cilia on Kickstarter. Throw some money at Peter and help him make his dream a virtual reality. All right, Peter, thank you very, very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, and everyone else, thank you very much for listening.
All data and information provided on the RevVR podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. This podcast makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, correctness, suitability, or validity of any information discussed. Comments and views expressed on the RevVR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests and are not necessarily shared by Road to VR or its affiliates.